Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 16, the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 16. And we want to begin with verse 12. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, if you will, take your Bibles and go back to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, and we'll begin reading with verse 13. Revelation 9 and verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million in that army. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Now shall we pray. Father, as we look into this passage, we realize that we read of events in a period called the tribulation. It's our desire that we could save, or that you would save through the preaching of your word today, any soul that's here without Christ that may end up going through this tribulation that you want to save us from. May our hearts and minds be awakened to the truths of God's word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. People often wonder, is America in prophecy? Do we see her active in the tribulation? Actually, of nearly 200 countries in the world, you don't see that many countries mentioned in the tribulation lore. So, in the United States, we really don't see her mentioned or in any way indicated. I have preached sermons that are on our website. As a matter of fact, when you go out the door on the tables there, there's this little card. And it has that website, www.sermonaudio.com/Central Baptist. I have one sermon that I preached back on September 5th of 2010, titled The 3,500-Year Prophecy Coming True. And from the book of Deuteronomy, that sermon talks about the prophecy 3,500 years ago of oil being discovered in Israel, in both land and sea. And we've seen that coming to pass in this day. We also have extensive study on Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39 talks about Russia and her coalition. And if you go on the Sermon Audio site, you can just click on the sermon by scripture. or by Bible, and you get down to Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll see all those sermons on that. As a matter of fact, same website, Sermons by Bible, we have over 300 sermons on the book of Revelation, verse by verse. And so I'm saying all that just to say that the Bible, for over 2,000 years now, has told us of things that are actually coming to pass in our day. We know that Russia comes with her allies at the first part of the tribulation to go against Israel, and they'll be defeated soundly by the hand of God. In our text, we read about a group, the kings of the armies of the East, an army of 200 million that I believe is headed up by China. And this army will march, and in their march for the last year of the tribulation, a year, a month, a day and an hour, they will march, and anybody gets in their way, they'll kill, and over one-third of the population in that year of the entire earth will be killed. So that lets us know that this is not going to be a good time on earth, the time of the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years. It takes place sometime after the saved are raptured. That is, everyone that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Not everyone that's a church member. Not everyone that's been confirmed. Not everyone that's been baptized. But everyone that's received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the person that's going to be caught up to be with the Lord. We find out, and the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ," those who have received Christ during their lifetime, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What a great promise that is if you are in Christ, because not only do you have eternity in heaven, but it means you not only miss hell, but you miss the tribulation period that's coming on this earth. Sometime after the rapture, a world leader that we refer to as Antichrist. Now, what his name will be to the world at that time, I do not know. The Bible refers to him as the beast, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, and about 30 different names is assigned to him in the Word of God. This world leader will confirm a covenant with Israel for 7 years. The confirmation of that covenant, according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, will begin this 7-year tribulation period. During the 7-year tribulation period, well over half the world's population will die in very violent and terrible ways. In other words, in a 7-year period, well over 3 billion people will die. And it will be noticed around the world. Israel today is back in the land, according to prophecy, as it said it would happen. The Russian coalition in Scripture seems to be lined up with one another. They're the common market nations that were also prophesied in Scripture. 27 of them are together today. 10 of those will take the leadership in this tribulation period. And the Antichrist will come out of one of those 10 nations. So what about America and what about China? Next week, China. This week, we'll look at America. Now, the first point is to go to our text, back to Revelation 9 and verse 20 and 21. And we see in verse 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither see nor hear nor walk." Now, that verse is just saying, all these judgments of God that were poured out, yet men did not repent. They continued in their false religion. They continued in their ecumenical religion. They continued having religion that worshiped idols. Yet God said not to make an image of anything, not even of anything in heaven, not even to make an image of Christ. Nothing in heaven, nothing on the earth, nothing underneath the earth. The true worshipers of God do not worship images. They worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, the Bible tells us. And yet, we see the conditions of unrestrained iniquity in its infant stages, as it'll even grow worse in the tribulation. Today, we have terrorist attacks. We have tsunamis. We have earthquakes. We have these unusual weather patterns, worldwide economic destruction, wars, rumors of wars, lawlessness, and yet people cannot see that the hand of God is moving and they ought to repent. Jesus said in the days before his return, they would be as the days of Noah. Well, what were those days? How were they? Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, verse 5, verse 11, and verse 12 tell us. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just his deeds, his thoughts. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Well, we see in Revelation 9:20, corrupted worship. But in the beginning in Genesis, we see the sons of God saved men, marrying the sons of men, the daughters of men, unsaved people. It was wrong then. It's still wrong today. He said in Revelation 9:21 that there were murderers. Genesis says the land was filled with violence. It became unsafe. There were beatings. There were killings. Their sports were violent. Revelation 9 says, nor their fornication. In Genesis, we see all flesh corrupted, even the thoughts of their hearts. We've seen a generation that has been raised in an anti-God educational system. The only thing that keeps us from going down the tubes completely in the education in our public sector is that we still have some teachers who are Christians and who will not teach the humanistic philosophy in their classrooms. Then there are many Christian schools seeking to teach a biblical worldview. What has been the result of humanistic secularism in our schools today? Well, again, violence. 60 million human babies are killed inside their mothers. You say, Brother Andy, shouldn't use the word babies. Use the word fetus. Okay. 60 million fetuses, instead of killed, were aborted inside of their, instead of mothers, their homo sapien. Well, no, you don't say homo sapien, you say mother. No, if you're going to be consistent, you'd be consistent across the board. It's either mothers, murder, and babies, or it is abortion, fetuses, and homo sapiens. Be consistent. That's all we ask. Now, we know what God says, and it's the first. It's murder. It's murder. A generation has been taught to accept a homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle. It is vile, it is wrong, and it is wrong as a couple moving in and living together without marriage. However, it is forgivable. People can repent, and God can deliver them from those sins because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and Jesus Christ is the God who delivers from sin. There's a time in this country when homosexuality was a change, was a shame. Now the military is prepared to do extensive indoctrination of all their troops so that it will be accepted and that men or women can practice as a homosexual openly in front of the rest of their comrades in arms. They've not obtained marriage rights yet. They've tried. It'll take maybe just another 10 years of our generation of kids being taught that this is acceptable, that they'll have the votes to pass it. It'll be in our society. In the last 50 years, there's been several countries that have started doing homosexual marriages. But let me tell you something. The last time where homosexual marriage was actually a legalized thing with documents involved, when they went back through history, digging up ruins, they found that there was a place where that happened. It was called Sodom and Gomorrah. And they had legalized marriage. And you found out what God thought about that. And doesn't our society feed off violence? Hollywood and the entertainment industry promotes it. There's over 60% increase in just the last 5 years of profanity on primetime television. Our children have games that they play that make people look lifelike. And they're given the opportunity to kill them. We're desensitizing our children to murder, to sexual promiscuity. And the question now is not if, but when will America be judged? As Psalms chapter 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America's included. We're a nation. And all flesh has corrupted its way. Thievery is a constant threat. Violence is a constant threat, just as it was in the days of Noah. And the church must be unified in the Holy Spirit of God in Christ Jesus to stand on sound doctrine, not to be ashamed to proclaim doctrine, and to call sin, sin, and right, right, to proclaim it, knowing that it might call for persecution from the world, but this world is not my home. Now, America is not seen to have a place clearly marked in the end time. We don't really see it in the Word of God. And many people want to know, well, why is that? When Russia and her allies come against Israel near the beginning of the tribulation, America might be like one of those in Ezekiel 39:6 that says, and I will send fire on Magog, who is Russia, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Dwelling carelessly means dwelling confidently, not worried about what goes on the other side of the world. And God in that tribulation period will send fire upon them. No nation is going to be exempt from the fiery judgments throughout the tribulation period. But Russia and her allies are coming against Israel. What will America do? Well, God still blesses those that bless Israel, and He still curses those that curse Israel. That was God's eternal promise for the history of man. After I prepared this sermon sometime back in January, I read, and this is the Gary Bauer report that came out this week, February 1st. No one questions Senator Rand Paul's commitment to fiscal responsibility, but his latest proposal to end all foreign aid, including aid to Israel, is a case of being penny wise and pound foolish. Last week, Senator Paul released a plan to cut $500 billion in federal spending. Part of that plan includes eliminating foreign aid. In an interview with CNN, Paul was asked if he meant to include Israel in his cuts. He said yes. While expressing support for Israel as a fountain of peace and democracy in the Middle East, Paul said he was also concerned about funding an arms race in the volatile region. God blesses those that bless Israel. He curses those that curse Israel. We begin to dwell carelessly. We'll find that we have the power to be a blessing to them, and we're not. God will judge. As many of you know, I enjoy going to Israel and visiting there. I try to keep up with things that go on there. I probably have at least 3 to 4 different news organizations that I hear from every week, and usually just about every day, on news of Israel. Israel was recently able to set Iran's nuclear program back 5 years. They used a very successful virus attack that severely affected Iran's uranium, its uranium enrichment program. The internet worm that was used is the most advanced cybernet weapon ever known. It not only knocked their centrifuges out of control, but it made it appear on their screens, their computer feedback, showed that everything was running normal. What is the result of that attack? It is simply this. It'll be, by estimates, 2015 before Iran can produce now a nuclear weapon if they're unimpeded. Our own President Bush at the time gave the go-ahead for that project in 2008, but he only gave a go-ahead. Didn't carry it out himself. Israel developed it. Israel did it. One may ask, why is America not a major role in the tribulation? I believe that we take a Monroe Doctrine attitude or policy that says you stay on your side of the globe and we'll stay on ours. WikiLeaks shows Israel to be right when they've made all these statements and everybody said, no, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're lying, they're lying, they're lying. Then they came out to WikiLeaks and showed that Israel's telling the truth. And what's interesting about that, the WikiLeaks guy wasn't trying to help Israel. Wasn't trying to help them. But through that, he found on several occasions that they were trying to throw, the USA was trying to throw Israel under the bus. Listen to this article. He says, the WikiLeaks website last week leaked a state secret, State Department cable from October 31st, 2008, directing United States officials to spy on Israel. The cable, dated only days before 2008 America presidential elections, was signed by then Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. It reveals Ms. Rice instructing American diplomats in Israel, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, as well as the Defense Intelligence Agency and the CIA to conduct massive espionage operation against the Jewish state. The sought-for information covered all aspects of Israel's political system, society, communications, infrastructures, and Israel's defense forces. Diplomats and spies were instructed to gather intelligence on planned Israeli military operations against American-backed Palestinian Authority, Syria, and Lebanon. She also asked them to check about divisions among various settlement groups, details on settlement-related budgets and subsidies, settlers' relationships with the Israeli political and military establishment, including their lobbying and settlement methods. In other words, divide and conquer. She also directed American officials to gather information on current specifications, vulnerabilities, capabilities, and planned upgrades, national telecommunications, infrastructure, networks, and technologies used by the Israeli government and military authorities, intelligence, security services. Also, for official and personal phone numbers, fax numbers, and email addresses of principal civilian and military leaders. And we're supposed to be their friend? And that's from Eruv Sheva, Israel National News of January 2011. We're trying to make inroads in our own hemisphere to supply one another with what the other lacks. People were mad at this last election. There are oil problems in the Middle East. And so a new party, we said Tea Party, but underneath that is a libertarian party, which says, drill for our own oil. Protect our own soil. Let's care for ourselves. But there's one problem. One more economic downturn this year, and by the way, this is not an election, a prediction on my part. This is not a vision. It's not even a hope for me. But if we do have another economic downturn this year, as the last one, America's in deep trouble. And yet, we have the ability to come out. Let me share with you this little gem. The Bakken domestic oil reserves, which covers two-thirds of North Dakota, western South Dakota, and extreme western Montana. This sizable find is now the highest-producing onshore oil field found in the past 56 years, reports the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. A recent technological breakthrough has opened up the Bakken massive reserves, and we now have access of up to 500 billion barrels. And because this is light sweet oil, those billions of barrels will cost Americans just $16 per barrel. We're paying $90 right now. And the people that we buy it from treat us like dirt and want to kill us. That's enough crude oil to fully fuel the American economy, now get this, for the next 2,041 years. If that doesn't throw you on the floor, then maybe this does. U.S. oil discovery, largest reserve in the world, Stansberry Report online, April 20th, 2006, hidden 1,000 feet beneath the surface of the Rocky Mountains, lies the largest untapped oil reserve in the world. It is more than 2 trillion barrels. The last one I read you about to take us for 2,000 years was 500 billion. This is 2 trillion. We have more oil within our borders than all other reserves on earth combined. Now, some things I may not like about libertarianism. And there may be some things I like about it, but this is one thing I cannot vote for, and that is to leave Israel alone, because God blesses those that bless Israel. When you have the power to bless, you should bless them. And even though in January, Israel took measures to try to strengthen the American dollar. Now, here's what I believe is going to happen. I believe that when the rapture takes place, there will be enough of the people in America that are removed. I don't think it will be a lot, but enough that I think we ought to take care of Israel. They'll be removed, and there will be nothing to stop that. If every American citizen was taxed 100% of their income, 100% of your income, if you just tax that today, our debt is $1.5 trillion. Everyone were taxed 100%, it would not pay the federal deficit. We've borrowed so much. California and many other states are in trouble financially. Now, when you and I get in trouble with our bills and we can't pay them any longer, what do? We file bankruptcy. And then our creditors get that much of that much, if they get anything at all. What happens when a state, when a government begins to file bankruptcy? It affects your pensions. It affects your retirement incomes and other things that you've grown to depend upon. Walter Williams, an economist, says our national debt is over $14 trillion. The federal budget deficit is $1.4 trillion. Now, actually, it's $1.5, and I got the $1.5 from the government figures since Walter Williams wrote this over a month ago. He says, depending on whose estimates are used, the unfunded liability or indebtedness of the federal government, mostly in the forms of obligations for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and prescription drugs, is estimated between $60 and $100 trillion. Those entitlements, along with others, account for nearly 60% of federal spending. They're what Congress calls mandatory or non-discretionary spending. Then there's discretionary spending, half of which is for national defense. For the past 30 years, federal tax revenues have averaged 18% of the gross domestic product. Federal spending is nearly 30% of our gross domestic product, which is the problem. To put this in perspective, defense spending is called discretionary spending, and it totals $685 billion. Our deficit is $1.4 trillion. Defense spending could be eliminated entirely, and still we'd have a very massive deficit. Any congressman unwilling to make cuts in entitlement spending is not talking seriously about sparing our nation from economic collapse. You look at the situation right now economically in America. The Bloomberg's report, Bill Gross of Bloomberg, said, "We've told all of our clients that if you had one idea, one investment, it would be a non-dollar currency for your investment." Jim Rogers, one of the world's most successful investors, writes, "The dollar is not just in decline, it's in a mess. It could lose its status as the world reserve currency." And I expect that to happen, that we might make room for a one world government currency. The Bible talks about it in Revelation. The World Bank has officially stated it is now searching for an alternative world currency than the dollar. America is like our text in Revelation 9, 20 and 21. With all of its sin abounding, it is unrepentant. Its churches are corrupted. The churches are rocking, rolling, and going half naked to church. Filled with the lust of the flesh for whatever makes it feel good. The homes are falling apart. The economy is almost in the tank. And a libertarian view seems to be gaining strength. You have libertarians, for an example, is Pat Buchanan, who seems to be anti-Arab and anti-Israel. Many say, you know what I think is going to happen with America? So many people are going to get saved that it's a non-factor in the tribulation. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that, for one. Number two, there's nothing about America right now that shows that. More and more people that used to be fundamentalists are now going ecumenical. I think a Monroe Doctrine where we protect ourselves and take care of ourselves. If not, if we don't have some strength to protect ourselves, then why would China, why would Europe march down towards little Israel and get a fraction of the oil, the resources, and the things that we have in America? My friend, the table's being set for a world leader to rise up, an antichrist, to take control of that European sector. The predictions of a one world religion coming together, we see that forming now. As the evangelist said in 1948, you had the one world council of churches. Israel back in the nation as a people now. But not only that, you had a group that was tired of being fundamentalists and they started the New Evangelical Movement, all in 1948. I'm telling you that to say Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. Next week, I want us to look at the kings of the East. But the question is, are you ready to meet the Lord now? The rapture is so close. A lot of people can listen and hear some of the things I said today, and because of their political stand, agree with me. But this is not about politics. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible said that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Those were the very words of Jesus Christ. We find in Acts 17:30, we're told that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He's appointed a day in which He will judge the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 lets us know, you had the opportunity to be saved. You had the opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And you passed that up. The rapture takes place. You cannot be saved. Now, I believe there will be people that never heard that will be saved in the tribulation. But it won't be you because you have the opportunity to be saved. The Bible says God would send those strong delusions that they might believe the lie who had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friend, the Bible tells us to repent and believe the gospel. Repent is a change of mind, but it also means to turn from. It's turning from myself, depending on myself, depending on religion, depending on all these other things, turning from all of those things and turning only to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. Every sin. You call upon him to save your soul. Listen. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Methodist. It's not about being a Catholic. It's not about being a Muslim, a Mormon, or any other of those things. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Lord and Savior. The good news is, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. But my friend, you must come. Won't you come to him today? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray when we have this hymn of invitation, hymn 342, I pray that your people would respond. Respond quickly and come down and say, yes, I'm going to stand. If no one else does, I'm going to stand. And then I pray, Father, I did not see a hand go up and say, I'm not sure that if I die today, heaven's my home. But I pray, Lord, that regardless, if there is one here that is not saved, they're not sure if they died today, they'd go to heaven. Then I pray that today they'd walk this aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.